Good morning, brothers and sisters and friends. Thanks for joining with us. What a joy, a gift, an honor it is to worship God together. Your voice, your presence is one of the primary ways that we know that Christ is risen, that Christ is here, and that's a gift. So we've got just a wonderful day of worship plan. If there's any way that we can be of help to you, invite you to use those cards as they're made available in front of you, particularly if there's any way that we might partner with you in prayer. It's one of our deepest honors as a staff to gather on Mondays together and to pray for you, to pray for the things that you've shared, to pray for our world. And so we take that very seriously. So thank you for sharing with that. You can place those in the offering box as you go by later. So let us know if there's any way that we might be of help to you. Tomorrow night, we're going to have a ton of fun. Right, Larry? Okay, I'm going to have a ton of fun. Tomorrow evening, Larry and Dr. Cho have a wonderful time of worship and celebration and music planned. 7 o'clock right here, right? 7 o'clock right here. We will have childcare down the hall. So if you'd like to come, and I will say it'll be the best concert of the whole year. All right. We're so grateful for Larry's gift, and Dr. Cho certainly is almost as good as Larry, and we're looking forward to that. I invite you now to take a breath. May we be reminded that it is not oxygen that fills our lungs, it is the Holy Spirit, the very breath of God. Let some of that which distracts us fade. And may the very presence of the divine be magnified within our own awareness. Brothers and sisters and friends, may the Lord be with you. I invite you to stand.
Trouble. When all seemed hopeless, I cried out to God, and the Lord heard my pleas and answered me. When I felt lost and alone, I looked for God, and God found me and brought me home. When my life was filled with joy and blessing, I danced and praised God, danced and rejoiced with me. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. All people, all people, all people. All places, all of the places. And all things, all the things, every single thing worships you, O God. And we join together in joy and in prayer with all people, all places, and all things. To worship you. In the name of the Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Well, Larry, thank you for playing our songs. We'd like to invite the rest of the children to come and join us this morning. Thank you for coming. Never too old, are you? Nope. Good morning, everybody. Here they come. Good morning. I'm glad to be with you guys this morning. Oh, I have a question for you. How are your eyes today? Can you see pretty good today? I see some glasses there. Are they clean your eyes out today? Because we're going to start looking for some stuff. So kind of blink your eyes a little bit and get ready. Okay, you ready to start looking around? They were blurry. That's what I was asking about. So unblurry your eyes a little bit. Might have kind of blurry sometimes too. Okay, today we're going to look for something. Here's what I want you to look for and see if you can see it. Here's the first thing I want you to look for. Kindness. Do you see it? Okay. How about lovingness? Do you see that? Okay. How about people helping? Do you see that? Okay. How about goodness? Do you see any goodness going on? Oh, a little bit maybe? Okay. How about fairness? Do you see any of that anywhere? You do? Excellent. You're the winner then. Okay, and you do? Okay, right. But you know what? These are all the things that Jesus teaches us to do and to be. And I was wondering if you could help me figure out how some of these things could happen, like children and adults can do these things. How about hugs? Is that a good thing? I think it's a really, really good thing. I love hugs. I had a couple this morning. How about kind words? Do any of y'all use kind words? I heard you use a kind word this morning. Yeah, I heard some kind words going on. How about people listening to each other? Do you hear that? You know what, my friend, I sat by my friend Allison this morning, and she asked me a question, and then she listened to my answer, and she didn't interrupt. Do you ever get interrupted? That was really good. I appreciate that. How about when people say, I'm sorry? Do you ever say I'm sorry to anybody? Yeah, I do too. That's apologizing. That's a good thing. How about, do you ever see anybody help anybody that is hungry or needs money or clothing? Do you ever see that? I do too. How about, do you ever see or hear people say, I love you? You do that? Good. I do too. How about, do you see kids playing fairly and sharing? Yeah, I do too. I see that sometimes. And we talked about kind words, didn't we? How about, do you ever see people doing this everywhere, don't you? Well, I'm going to give you something this morning that will help you to remember to look for these things that we talked about that Jesus teaches us to do. Now, I started to give these to you when we first began children's time, but I thought it might be distracting. So here they are. This is going to help you look for these things. Now, you won't find them by just these things I'm going to give you, but they will remind you to look for these things that Jesus teaches us. Are you ready? Okay, here we go. Here's you one. I know. You're going to have two pairs. You put one on top of the other. I wondered about that. Oh, there's you one. You can put them on. Okay. Let's see. There's you one. To help you look for kind things. Okay, I'm going to give you the blue. You look good in blue. Okay. Oh, I wish I had pink. Redheads need to wear pink. There you go. Put them on. Let us see what you look like in them. And there you go. You look weird? No, you don't. I don't think you look weird. Here you go. Okay. These are going to help you look to find these. They'll just be a reminder to look. You want blue? Here you go. How about red for you? Okay, and how about, did I give anybody green? Oh, I like the green ones, the green. Now what, I'm going to let you choose. What color do you want? Excellent, red. Okay, you got them on? Let us see what you look like. Now, will they help you see it? Nah, they're fake glasses. They'll help you to remember that Jesus taught us these things, and we need to look for them and do them, won't we? Okay. Everywhere we look, we're going to see this stuff that Jesus taught us to do. So I really thank you for coming this morning. I'm going to pray for us as we leave. Dear Heavenly Parent, help us to look and to see and to do. Amen. Okay, guys. Thank you for coming.
Our Hebrew scripture for this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 5 through 7. And now the Lord says, who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel may be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers. Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. The word of God for the people of God.
Invite you to receive these words from the pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, where Martin Luther King Jr. served as co-pastor. I invite you to receive these words not as words from an expert, but as from a co-listener, a co-learner, and a co-laborer in Christ. Even so, the interpreter is compelled, it seems to me, to hear Martin Luther King Jr.'s autobiographical description of his spiritual development within the context of his own spiritual tradition and in relation to his own apprehension of the same. Given the fact that he understood, in a way that few ever will, the piercing loneliness that comes with public acclaim and severe criticism, and because he faced the likelihood of martyrdom on a daily basis, there is much to be gained by an interpretation that takes seriously King's own words, a hermeneutic of suspicion notwithstanding, regarding that which anchored his own sense of vocation in the world. In that regard, there is a deep continuity, yet a qualitative difference between the faith he claimed in his childhood and the faith that he would reclaim in the context of a movement. Over and again, and in a way quite consistent with evangelical testimony to one's own conversion experience, King, who is also the social revivalist, would testify in his sermons regarding a certain metanoia, the Greek word for repent, a certain metanoia, a kitchen experience at the beginning of this movement in Montgomery. King's personal encounter with the God whom black Christians insist you've got to know for yourself. This event occurred on January the 27th, 1956. As King endeavored to find peace and reassurance in the midst of a tense environment of racial strife, phone calls threatening his life, that of his wife, and their firstborn infant child. And although he had received threatening calls before, this one on January the 27th got his attention. After getting home very late, following a steering committee, the hate-filled voice on the other end of the telephone call came after midnight and said things that we won't repeat in this space today, things that should never be said to another human being. Although he had already by then become accustomed to about 40 such phone calls per day, he was shaken by this one. He was concerned about his safety and that of his family. Attempting first to find a little relief over a cup of coffee and then reflecting on his graduate theological studies, which had suggested him a philosophical and theological reasons for the existence and reality of evil. Such philosophies will only take one so far. He said he was left feeling rather weak, realizing that his mother and his father could not help him any longer. It occurred to him that he must turn to the God of his parents. Quote, something in that person that your daddy used to tell you about. And I discovered then that religion had to become real to me and I had to know God for myself. It is there, while in prayer, that King heard a voice. Martin Luther, stand up for justice, stand up for truth, and lo, I will be with you even until the very end of the age. Now, previous interpreters of King have observed the significance of this moment in his life, because he would often think back to it in the midst of overwhelming stress and strain as a kind of existential anchor. David Garrow opines that it was the most important night of his life. Similarly, Stuart Burns observes that it was on the one-year anniversary of this January 27th phone call in which King's home was nearly blown to kingdom come, and that it is then that he began to speak at the one-year anniversary. He began to speak publicly of this kitchen conversion. It was this moment that anchored him in the face of death. James Cones notes the significance of the encounter as that which reconnected King to the God of the black experience and the faith of the black church. I, too, being Ralph Warnock, see the metanoia or conversion experience as very significant for the reasons mentioned by King and discussed among his interpreters. It grounded his philosophical understanding of personalism in the existential reality of a personal God whom King and we, too, can claim, whom we can walk with, particularly on those lonely paths. Also, it afforded him the courage to face death. Moreover, it both reconnected and deepened his connection to the faith experience of African Americans, those whom he would provide a public voice. But in addition to these reasons, Warnock argues that this conversion experience is both striking and significant for the organic and sublime way in which it collates the two primary strands in black people's understanding of salvation and of their own salvation history. individual conversion experience and communal transformation. Personal piety and communal liberation. For while personal and social salvation mutually influenced each other in the slave tradition, Black churches, like their white counterparts, have often been guilty of a bifurcated understanding of their mission that diminishes the church's role as an instrument of social salvation, or even a truncated theology that dismisses it altogether. Let's read that again. For while personal and social salvation mutually influenced each other in the slave tradition, Black churches, just like our white congregation, have been guilty of a bifurcated understanding of their mission that diminishes the church's role as an instrument for social salvation, if not a truncated theology that diminishes the role altogether. Perhaps King's most dramatic conversion experience occurred within the context of social struggle, and never would he separate the two, nor would he privilege one over the other. We're almost done. Hang with me. You're doing great. It is precisely King's piety and personal encounter with God, whom he needed to know for himself, that demanded he stand up for justice and truth. Conversely, as one dares to stand up for justice and truth in the face of determined, organized, and incorrigible evil, good intentions will never suffice for an authentic encounter with God. You better know God, King says in a sermon after referring to his kitchen encounter. And you better know God's name. And you better know how to call upon God's name, King continues in another sermon preached at Ebenezer Baptist Church. He counsels the congregation, when you know God, you can stand up amidst the agonies and burdens of life and not despair. When you know God, you can stand up amidst the tension and tribulation and yet smile in the process. When you know God, you can have on some shoes that help you walk through muddy places. We join with the Psalms that cry out, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long, O Lord, will it seem as though your face is hidden from me? How long, O Lord, must I wrestle with my thoughts day after day, sorrow in my heart? How long, O Lord, will it seem as though my enemy triumphs over me? Look on me, O God. Give light to my eyes, or I shall sleep in death. Look on me, O God, for my enemy will soon overcome. Selah. Breathe. But I will trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praises, for God has been good. Let's pray together. We join our hearts in our prayers with all who cry out to you, O Lord. How long? We wait in stillness. We wait in silence. We wait for your salvation, that we too might join our hearts and our praise with all people, with all things and all places that say, yes, the salvation of the Lord is near, for God has been so, so good. Amen.
for the reading of the gospel. Our gospel lesson today comes from John, the first chapter, verses 35 through 41. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining with us for worship. What a gift it is. Using a little creative liberty and license, Martin Luther King Jr. used this phrase, "muddy places," when speaking about really the deliverance and the salvation of God leading beloved children through the difficulties of life. "Muddy places" is the phrase Martin Luther King Jr. uses. I just grew up in a muddy waters kind of house. And so I'd like to use the phrase, if you would, just muddy waters. And it was a story of King Jr.'s that reminded me of a story that the rabbis tell a midrash. And I just say from the onset, this is not meant to be critical of any individual or any type of person. Rather, I have received this story myself as critical of my own experience with reality. The rabbis tell the story of Moses leading God's people, representing the divine salvation of God. Moses leading this large group of Hebrew people and God. And really, this is the inauguration of our story. It is the Exodus that begins our faith tradition. Everything else before that is prequel. That really our faith tradition begins in this liberation, in this celebration of God's leading out of slavery in captivity. And there at the Reed Sea, Moses, Aaron, and others signifying the deliverance of God, parting the waters that the people might pass through, out of slavery, out of bondage, miraculously through the floor of the sea bed. And the rabbis tell a story of those walking across, and that some, as they walked across the floor of the seabed, they looked to their left and to their right, having never seen anything like what they were seeing, having never experienced anything like what they were experiencing, looking to their left and to their right and seeing these massive walls of water. And they were thanking God, marveling at the wonder of it all, worshiping the Lord who had done mighty things that very day. And the rabbis tell a story of some others who were there that very day, who were there when the waters and the sea was split, who were also walking across the floor of the seabed. There were some, possibly, they did not look to their left and to their right and marveled at the waters, but they looked down And as God had delivered them, they looked down and walked across the seafloor while complaining about how muddy the ground was. I think our gospel this morning asks one of the great questions. It's a question that really it's not my responsibility to answer for you or for anyone else. It's a question really that the church is not responsible for answering, at least for you. But Jesus asks a question in our gospel reading this morning, saying simply to a small group of what then would be disciples, Jesus says, "What are you looking for?" And I think we do well to ask ourselves this. What are you looking for? And I think if we were honest, we have opportunity in this life and in this moment to look to our left and to our right and marvel that the waters have been split. Or we have opportunity in this very moment to look down and complain that God didn't soak up more of the water before we walked through the dirt. What are you looking for? Interestingly, here, even in our gospel reading, Jesus asked this question of a group of people. And I think we do well to ask this question of ourselves individually, but I think also we do well to receive this question, which is asked of a group of people. And so we ask ourselves as a congregation, as a church, as a small microcosm of the great mysterious body of Christ, what are we looking for? As we received earlier through the pastors of Ebenezer Baptist Church, there are two or three churches. There are two or three kinds of churches in the world. Do you know what those kinds are? Some have organs and some have... I'm kidding. Some have red carpet, some have blue. No. King Jr. is suggesting that there are some churches, some communities of faith that put an emphasis upon individual spiritual experience. And there is another church that places only emphasis upon communal transformation. And I believe that King, through Warnock, reminds us today, church, that either a personal experience with the spiritual aspects of reality or a communal liberation, either or, is not a healthy nor whole construct for the congregation. It really is a great both and. That we are to engage with the Christ, the Holy Spirit, in an individual way that transforms the way that we live, and we are, as a people, to seek, as Jeremiah said, the welfare and the well-being of our city. What are we looking for? I'm reminded maybe a little bit this week of one thing in my life that brings me a lot of joy. So I'd like to share it with you, just one thing that encourages me. And it starts, ironically, with an email. Do you ever get any emails? One of the things, and Alice and I have radically different philosophies regarding email. But one of the things I love to do is when some organization trying to connect with me, trying to sell me, some organization sends me an email, I love to scroll down to the bottom of that thing and find this really small underlined text. And it's blue text on top of a blue background, don't you know? And it says some of the most wonderful words in all of the world. Click here to unsubscribe. And And then it takes you to a website where you can tell them why you clicked that button and you can lie. Now, our world is full of negative identity that is, in fact, dangerous. Politically, religiously, identifying towards the negative. What I mean by that is that there are entire tribes that don't know what they think and don't know what they believe. They know they just don't agree with, right? So I think we need to be very careful using the negative. But I am encouraged a little bit around this negative experience. What are you looking for? Jesus says to the disciples. And of course, time and again, including here, Jesus says, come and follow me. And follow is, in fact, such a deeply spiritual, wonderful word. And it has also been co-opted by Elon Musk. Friend, what a great word that has also been co-opted by Mark Zuckerberg. And so generally speaking, deferring to the negative isn't always the most healthy spiritual category. But I wonder if we might also ask ourselves today, not just who are you following, what are you looking for, but who are you unfollowing? And what are the voices? What are the tribes? What are those things in our lives in which we might unsubscribe and no longer let them resound within our hearts, in our minds, in our communities? What are you clicking unsubscribe on? And if you were to look for a rubric for that which to subscribe to or that which to unsubscribe from, I believe King and others offer a healthy rubric. That which celebrates an individualism, that which affirms a personal encounter with the Spirit, yes. And that which builds up the community, that which liberates those who have been last and least and lost in our world. And if it is one or the other, then it is truly lacking. There are many things that I don't know about Jesus of Nazareth, many things I'm still learning about the Christ of faith. But today, one of the things I wonder might describe Jesus is I think that he had filthy, dirty feet. And that we too are invited to pass through the waters, to look to our left and to our right and celebrate the wonder and awe and majesty and activity of our God. And as our feet get dirty, may we be reminded that at least I think the Christ too had filthy, dirty feet. Let's pray together. We seek your wisdom and your words, O God. We seek your presence far beyond anything we can articulate in word or in song. For these brothers and sisters and friends in faith, for this world that you love, we pray that you would continue to lead them, that you would divide the waters, and that you would unite and redeem all people, all places, and all things. In the name of true love, we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand as we continue to worship.
Would you pray with me, please? Mighty God, at Christmas, we joined all heaven and earth in rejoicing at the birth of Jesus on Christmas Day. And at Epiphany, we stood among the crowd on the banks of the Jordan River and watched John baptize Jesus up out of muddy, muddy water. A man and a Savior filled with grace and truth. Today we feel the wisdom of John's declaration about Jesus. Here is the Lamb of God. And sympathize with his disciples when Jesus asks, "What are you looking for?" Centuries later, the weight of the question still hangs in the air and tugs out of our heart. What are you looking for? God, from the annoyance of misplaced keys and sunglasses, the nervousness of lost phones and credit cards, the aching search for love and meaning, and the longing for where is reconciliation? How do I find forgiveness? What are you looking for? Dear Lord, let it be you. Let us love like you love, without condition. Forgive like you forgive, with great hope. Give like you give, with generosity and not counting the cost. And in this way, Lord, we will have found you, the Messiah indeed. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
What is that good news?
May the peace of Christ be with you. Let us share in the peace together. An offering plate. We are really Baptist today. Watch out. Brothers and sisters and friends, as you go this week, may your feet be filthy and may the presence of Christ lead you as a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. See you tomorrow night, 7 p.m.